The following is a Bell to Bell B2B audio production. Bell to Bell is one of 50-plus trusted brands within the Investor Brand Network, IBN. As a multifaceted financial news and publishing company, IBN uses its network of more than 5,000 key distribution outlets, as well as other corporate communication tools, to introduce public and private companies to a wide audience of investors, consumers, journalists, and the general public. Our reputation for highly efficient communication strategies is based on the experience and relationships our team has in the space. It is Investor Brand Network's unwavering commitment to connect the investment community with companies that have great potential and a strong dedication to building shareholder value. The following interview may feature a client partner of Investor Brand Network. IBN may have been compensated for the production of this interview. Please be sure to read our entire disclaimer for full disclosure. Thank you. And here today is your host, Stuart Smith.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks so much for making us part of your day and, of course, part of your due diligence when you look for small microcap stocks and other stocks. Whether the exchange be the NASDAQ to the NYSE, we want to find that gem for you to add to your watch list and ultimately to your portfolio. And to that end, we're speaking today to Greenbox POS. They're traded on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol GBOX, and we're lucky enough to be joined by the company's chairman of the board of directors and co-founder, and that's Ben Ares. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for making time for not only us, but your shareholders and also our listeners. Now, for the listeners who may not be familiar with your company yet, if you would, tell us a little bit about the business model and the markets that you operate in.
Yes, Greenbox POS is a company that Freddie Nissan, the current CEO, and I founded in the beginning of 2017, approximately 5 years ago. We happened to meet at a synagogue art auction, of all places, and it seemed that we carried that blessing throughout our existence to this day. The company was reverse acquired into the OTCQB in April of 2018, and then uplisted to NASDAQ in February of 21 under the ticker GBOX, as you mentioned in your opener. Company is on its third generation of technology. The first generation was launched in 2019. During that year, we have done a volume of business that exceeded $170 million, which we saw as a great sign for the adoption of our main technology focus, blockchain ledger, and went full force ahead into what we are today. To put things in context, Greenbox had a volume of business of a little over $2 billion in 2021. And we're scheduling about three times that much in 2022. The company is currently on its third generation of technology and currently focusing on banking platforms, including and most notably stablecoin technology, with a great advantage over competition, which I'm sure we'll discuss during this interview a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am remiss in not giving out the website first. It's beautiful, listeners, and it is just greenboxpos.com. And we're talking about the customized blockchain payment solution for businesses. Going back to the Investor Brand Network due diligence profile that I'm looking at, you can find that at investorbrandnetwork.com. Click on the clients page and they're in alphabetical order. You're going to find Greenbox POS. Listen to this, as Ben just talked a little bit about the forecast for 2022, the company is forecast processing volume of at least $4.9 billion. Your company, as you've pointed out several times, is on its third generation of its technology. It really has come to fruition at the right time because, of course, what you're doing utilizing the blockchain for the payment solutions, it's a timely solution. As we all know, we've seen others come into this space. As you look forward into this company, or into your operational goals for 2022, Ben, where do you see yourself in terms of market penetration? What is your personal goal for the company to see market share? What do you want to garner?
That's a great question. So I divide the goals for the company into several parallels. Number one is probably geographic control and expansion. Most of our business today is done onshore within the U.S. With the completed acquisitions in Europe that we announced recently, you can tell that our global expansion will begin in that region. And then obviously we'll be looking at South America and the APAC region following that. APAC, Asia Pacific, is projected to be the majority of all worldwide transactions probably by the end of 2024. So that's one slice. The second slice is in the type of business that we do. We divide our business into risk verticals, low risk, medium risk, and high risk. Obviously, the company makes a lot more money in the form of transactional fees when we do transactions in the mid to high risk space. However, we can't do just that. We have to have a blend that fits the overall risk profile, which is the target for the company in general. So in order to process such high risk and high reward type business, we need to have not only the banking bandwidth that handles the legacy part of such operation. And by saying that, I mean there are still things like exits and conversions that happen outside of the blockchain operations over the ledger. So we have to have the right banking support to handle higher risk. The second thing that we need is obviously enough low risk so that the average is below the maximum metrics that are set for the company. As I said, the first look at the portfolio would be through geography, and the second through the type of business that we're looking at. Overall, we're looking at approximately 60% low risk, 40% medium to high risk over our portfolio. That's the general goal.
Well, very good. You know, when I look back on the company's press wire in 2021, where so many companies were coming out of a very difficult time, which is, and look, we all know we're not quite out of it. We keep getting different variants, but COVID has provided unique challenges for companies to prove themselves. And I look at your company,
right,
and I feel like it was, look, we're never going to call it a good thing, but there's a silver lining here that happened for certain companies that were able to elevate themselves and separate themselves. So let's look at 2021, but with the juxtaposition of 2020 before it, as you look back on the milestones for your company, what would you point out to new investors or potential investors and say, hey, this is where we grew. This is why we're on our third generation of our technology. And this is what we've been able to achieve in this difficult climate.
Right. So what a beautiful question. You know, first thing that we needed to accomplish in order to do such higher volume on our business was to obtain a PCI rating, the payment card industry certification, at the level one, or the highest level of compliance that allowed us to process unlimited volumes. That was essential for our operations. It just so happened that we received that certification at the end, in December, actually, of 2019, about a month before COVID, you know, broke out. Mm-hmm. At that point, people were, you know, locked in and started to look for ways to continue their semi-normal life, or what we call today the new normal, and moved almost entirely, in fact, more than 70% increase year over year because of COVID during 2020, which was dramatic for Greenbox. The increase of business that we saw was over 10x year over year for us. So I wouldn't call it a good thing, but I would call it an indication of how agile and adaptive this technology is appearing to be. So the COVID years have been very beneficial for Greenbox, proof of concept for the technology, its scalability, its robustness, its security, its privacy, all of these concerns that make the technology go right to the forefront of the payment industry in general. But what I wanted to add on top of that is that this thing was not unique, right? Such challenges happen all the time. We see it right now with what is happening in Europe with the invasion of Russia to Ukraine and considerations of the Russian economy looking to alleviate the sanctions from the West by moving to stablecoin, blockchain, and other vehicles that will isolate it from these sanctions. And these things will continue to happen moving forward. These challenges, even those that we don't currently see what shape they will have at the end of the day, we just know that they will continue to occur. And we have to be prepared for them. And this technology is perfect for that.
Yeah, that's very well said and very well taken. I appreciate where you're coming from. Honestly, it's these types of challenges that really separate who are the real players within each vertical. Speaking of vertical, your company and your offering, really, when you look at it, and again, I'm pulling this from the IBN due diligence listeners. You can go ahead and visit Investor Brand Network to find out about this. But we haven't talked much about your stablecoin, the Coyni stablecoin. Let's talk a little bit about that before we wrap up this interview.
Okay. One of my favorite subjects. Coyni is a remarkable technology. First, let's understand what problem is stablecoin technology out to solve. So at the basis of that concept is the idea that digital representation of minted currency should behave exactly like minted currency. And with that, I would primarily attribute that behavior to two factors. Number one is the custodial properties, and I'll talk about that in a second, but the custodial property of a stablecoin is the one that ties it to the behavior of minted currency in general. And the other is its transactionability. On the custodial side, the idea is that every digital representation of minted currency actually point to physical minted currency in the same value. It sounds trivial. Sounds like that is the way to do it. But so far, no stablecoin, with the exception of Coyni, actually has that property. Greenbox design for custodial architecture for Coyni is such that they hand over the responsibility for compliance and health of the ecosystem to federal responsibility. Our entire ecosystem is backed up by cash, actual physical cash, held at the Signature Bank in New York, and is audited in real time continuously. And that is the only way to guarantee stablecoin redemption property at all times. If I look at and compare that behavior to the two leading stablecoins, USDT and USDC, neither one of them is backed up by cash to the full value of their ecosystem. And neither one is audited in real time. The closest one is USDC, which is audited once every 30 days. I equate that to providing information about airplanes that landed yesterday to an air traffic controller. I don't care about what landed yesterday. I need to know that right now, airplanes are safe to land. The other property that I mentioned, transactionability, means that the stablecoin has to be liquid immediately. So if I send you $10 into your electronic wallet and you're in line at Starbucks for ordering a cup of coffee, by the time you get to the cashier, that $10 should be available to you to buy coffee. Again, sounds like a trivial thing to ask for, but it's definitely not a trivial thing to architect and put into the technology depot. And only Greenbox and Coyni are currently providing that ability to its stablecoin.
Well, listeners, once again, we're speaking with Ben Erez. He is the co-founder as well as chairman of the board of directors for Greenbox POS. Ticker symbol for the company, once again, traded on the NASDAQ, is GBOX. Ben, it's been a fascinating interview. It's been wonderful meeting you. I look forward to learning more about your company in upcoming interviews that we'll conduct with you here in the near future. Thanks for your time today, Ben.
Thank you for your interest and your time.
All right, for Ben Erez, this is Stuart Smith saying take a much closer look at Greenbox POS. Add them to your watch list today, and thanks so much for listening.
This audio production is an original broadcast provided by Bell to Bell, B2B, and all rights are reserved. B2B is your primary destination for informative updates and exclusive interviews with executives operating in fast-moving industries. We make market hours more informative with deep dives into the stocks on our watch list and in-depth examination of the trends guiding North American markets forward. Bell to Bell is another trusted brand under the Investor Brand Network, IBN. IBN may receive payments for corporate communication relations, as well as various press releases and social media solutions provided to its client partners. You should assume that officers and directors of IBN or financial analysts mentioned hold a position in and may intend to trade the securities for their own accounts. This interview is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell securities. Information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be, or should it be construed as, investment advice. As in all investments, investment in the featured company carries an investment risk. Listeners should review the company thoroughly with a registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This audio interview by IBN is not purported to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used in statements of fact have been obtained from featured company and other sources, but not verified nor guaranteed by IBN as to completeness and accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice. Please see our full disclaimers and disclosures at investorbrandnetwork.com.